The FCA's Chief Operating Officer and Executive Director of Authorisations, Emily Shepherd, has been described as liking to run towards fires and says she likes to hose down a potential disaster, but the best course of action is to prevent catastrophes in the first place. In this special episode of the Inside FCA podcast, you can listen to Emily speaking at the CISI Financial Planning Conference in Liverpool, where she talks about her approach and importantly the FCA's three-year strategy. In the comprehensive speech, she covers the challenges of the authorisations process and the steps the FCA has taken to improve the process for firms and strengthen assessments at the gateway. Emily also outlines the help for both firms and consumers with the new Consumer Duty, while highlighting the newly launched ScamSmart campaign and its significance in the face of cost of living pressures.
When I left the private sector last year to join the FCA, my former colleagues, after many comments, patted me on the back with a mixture of both envy and pity. Envy because they assumed it would be more relaxed in the public sector compared to the cut and thrust of C-suite. And also pity because, quite frankly, they assumed I'd be a little bored. But within weeks of joining, I was helping to lead a major internal transformation project. This followed on from a global pandemic when colleagues had worked round the clock to support financial institutions to help their customers. And then, just as we thought the crisis was petering out, Russia invaded Ukraine, which triggered volatility in the markets and further stymieing supply chains. So since then, we've had a fiscal event and the market reaction that followed that. So much for boredom and a quiet life in the public sector. So we at the FCA recognise that financial services do not start and end in the City of London. And increasingly, our work transcends not just borders and locations, but sectors as well. We did not set out to regulate third-party tech firms, for example, but with a rise in reliance on critical third parties, such as cloud services, we've had to work with other regulators and the Treasury to come up with ways to mitigate these risks of harm when things go wrong. So the problem with working for a regulator is that when things go right, and when you protect consumers from harm, issue guidance on sanctions to banks or liaise or block a malevolent firm from being authorised, the public won't hear about it. But when things go wrong, everyone knows about it. So as a regulator, we know there are areas where we need to make improvements to support the outcomes that we all want. Our authorisations process is one area where we've had challenges, which we fully recognise have had an impact on firms. But we have turned a corner in that area. So since December last year, we've slashed the pending cases from 12,500 to 6,600, which is a reduction of more than 45%. And we continue to work to improve this and to deliver a faster, better, and easier to use service. And that is why we're investing in our technology, starting with automated application forms for authorizations that aim to ensure the applications we receive are complete. So making sure they're complete reduces the repetitive experience of many firms at the gateway, saves time and resource for both us and the firms. And we've already taken steps to strengthen our gateway assessments, ramping up our scrutiny of firms' financial and business models. Now, this means in the previous financial year, one in five firms did not get authorised. That used to be one in 14 the year before. But we do want firms to set up and to flourish. But we know how the contagion can spread from a bad apple, and we feel it's best to weed these out before they go anywhere near the crop of healthy firms. A key part of ensuring that the UK is an attractive destination for firms is to maintain high standards at the outset. To support this, we're placing more firms that gain authorisation into our early and high growth oversight programme. So this is where we give firms that are new to regulation extra help with navigating the rules from the start. So we think this will help smooth the cliff edge for budding firms and is part of a continuous journey throughout regulation that for many starts in our sandbox. This is where firms can test innovations on real consumers, and it hopefully doesn't end up with an enforcement. Another way we have tried to help firms to put their best foot forward is with the new consumer duty. Now, it has been a hot topic for firms, but it should not be controversial. So the main thrust of the consumer duty is to require firms to put their customers' needs first and deliver good outcomes. It's not just the right thing to do for consumers, it makes business sense. Boards and senior management also have a critical role in overseeing firms' implementation of the duty. And that's why we've strengthened the requirements around governance and accountability to ensure senior managers and executives are held accountable. This duty should help firms hold on to customers in challenging times. And our own data and calls to our consumer line show that the cost of living challenges are biting. Customers are beginning to face challenges around debt, with fixed rate mortgage deals expiring and prices of household items also going up. The use of credit should not be demonized. It's an important part of smoothing unexpected bills and can be a lifeline if it's affordable and managed correctly. Where we have concerns is ensuring that people understand how much they are borrowing and the cost of that credit, and that lenders are offering the right information and deal for our customers. We're also keen to make sure that lenders help customers at the first signs of vulnerability, and that customers speak to lenders as soon as they feel they may not be able to make their usual payments. We also know that some investors could be listening to commentators' gloomy forecasts and may be tempted to cash out their investments or pensions. Our research shows that a quarter of consumers would be tempted to draw down on their pension in the face of cost of living pressures. It also shows that this increases vulnerability to scams. So 44% of consumers would fall for the free pension review offer, which is a classic scam tactic. We've launched our Scam Smart campaign highlighting such misdirection tactics. Consumers could also be imperiling their financial security if they liquidate their investments at what could be the bottom of the market, and investors should make sure they're getting appropriate and professional advice before taking those big decisions. With the cost of living rising, vulnerable consumers could also be considering whether to cancel or downgrade their insurance cover to eliminate a bill. They could, however, be exposing themselves to a dramatic and costly financial shock if they cancel or reduce their insurance cover. So we have asked financial services firms such as banks and insurers to keep a watchful eye on consumer behavior and to offer help and forbearance where they can. We would recommend customers take the right advice if seeking to take drastic action over their finances. And we know many small businesses will be worried about rising rates too, and we're mindful of the impact this will have for them. So the role of financial planners will no doubt be much in demand. We know the financial planning industry is driven by being agile and taking the right decisions for clients with the long view in mind. So at the FCA, we too are moving towards becoming a more innovative and more assertive and more adaptive regulator. The FCA is no longer the prescriptive organization of the past, and we recognize there is no one size fits all. We are transforming into an organization driven by outcomes and clear end goals that is investing in both data and in people. This vision is captured in our 3-year strategy, which launched back in April. And the strategy is underpinned by 3 key pillars. Number 1 is to reduce and to prevent serious harm. We're doing this by using data to assess problems quickly. This helps us to act sooner and to prevent harm from happening in the first place. The second pillar is setting and testing higher standards. Here we're focusing on consumer outcomes and ensuring that products are of a good standard by putting consumers' needs first, enabling consumers to help themselves, and minimizing the impact of operational disruption, and putting more focus on ESG and positive change. Our third pillar is to promote competition and that positive change. We aim to make sure that the UK remains an attractive destination for firms while maintaining high standards. So that includes looking at what the future looks like for financial services, strengthening our position in wholesale markets, and shaping digital markets. These three pillars explain what we are going to do, but also why we are going to do it. But our success also relies on how we're doing it and having the metrics to hold ourselves to account and to show progress. We recognize the regulatory burden that we can create. And each time we write a Dear CEO letter that isn't understood, firms call our supervision hub for help. So we collect this information and we feed it back so that the next Dear CEO letter is written with additional clarity and we can measure the effectiveness of that communication through how many calls that one generates. Similarly, every time we ask for a piece of information, it means that someone needs to sit down and fill in a form and send it in. We have to collate that information, clean it up, understand it, translate it. So we only use this technique when we absolutely have to. When it comes to data and regulatory data collection, we are being more innovative. We assess to see if we already have the right information or if it's available for any open sources around the market before we ask for it. Importantly, it feeds into our published data strategy, where we're streamlining the mechanism of collecting and of using data. As I'm sure you're all aware, we've lived through some extraordinary events over the last few months, and for us, it's meant that we've had to be adaptive. We saw Russia invade Ukraine. Not only did that have an impact on the market, but the reaction, the response, was to implement sanctions at speed in collaboration with partners around the world. We were responsible for ensuring that our firms were aware of their anti-money laundering obligations and adapted to work quickly with our firms to make sure that sanctions on individuals and company structures were being followed through. The invasion of Ukraine was quickly followed by a nickel price explosion at the London Metal Exchange. So for us, this meant working at pace to respond to the commodities volatility, working with partners again in the regulatory family and also with industry at pace to support the reopening of the nickel market with market stability. Becoming a data-led organization and having the skill set and competence and having the calmness and planning in place to react has meant the risks arising from the events have been managed and contained successfully. It has allowed us to take that assertive action. Following Brexit, Following Brexit, we have more freedom to set our own regulations, and we want to make sure it's tailored for our markets. One area that we're exploring is in the sphere of financial advice. As part of the FCA's consumer investment strategy, we've said that we want to establish a simplified advice regime for mainstream stocks and shares ISAs, where the risk to consumers are relatively low. This will allow some of the burden of regulation, which currently applies across the board to all advisors. It will also enable firms to reduce their charges and make advice on mainstream investments more accessible to mass market consumers. Sometimes it feels like we ask a lot of firms. We also, and rightly, ask a lot of ourselves and measure our progress against those clear metrics. These range from the number of firm cancellations or withdrawals of permissions as we shut down problem firms to halting growth in investment fraud victims and losses to increasing our interventions on non-compliant financial promotions by authorized firms. Our core activities as a regulator, from authorization to policy making, support for competition and innovation, to taking enforcement action, drive these goals. In a recent article, a journalist quoted me as saying, "I like to run towards fires." I'd just like to put on record that I am not a pyromaniac. However, I do like to hose down a potential disaster where I can. Of course, the best course of action is to prevent catastrophes in the first place. The FCA has at its heart the same thing that business and financial planners do. We want to ensure sustainability. We want to ensure resilience, and we want to put consumers and our customers at the centre. These are the things that will promote the positive competition and change and support the future growth of the UK economy. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you for listening to this special edition of the Inside FCA podcast with Emily Shepherd. To find out more information about the areas Emily covers in her speech, visit the FCA website. I'm Ms. Ibrahim. Please join us again soon on the Inside FCA podcast.